This message is presented to you by Pastor Cliff Reynolds and Word Alive Church in Elwood City, PA. For more information, visit wordalivechurch.info.
Closely with Jesus.
Amen.
So let's pray. So God, we thank you for tonight. Just give us ears to hear and hearts to receive. Lord, let it not fall on rocky soil, Lord, so we prepare the soil of our hearts to receive this tonight. May it change us, may it transform us, and may it help us walk as you created us to walk, to see ourselves the way you see us. Yeah, Lord, and walk in the light of the fact that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we talked about in John 7:38, the first text we looked at was, "Anyone who believes in me may come and drink. For the scriptures declare, rivers of living water will flow out from his heart." So what is that? That's the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So the Holy Spirit is in us. And then when we pray, when we spend time with the Lord, I believe it bubbles. It bubbles out of us like a river.
Yes, it does.
Have you ever prayed for somebody and you felt like a transfer?
Yes.
Well, that kind of resembles a river, something going from one place to another.
That's right. Yeah.
And so I believe that God wants us to drink of him, right, and come to him and drink. How many believe that he wants to use you to be a river?
That's right. Come on.
Yeah, not just a preacher,
that's
not
right,
just someone who prays, you know, a monk or someone. But I think all of us, if we believe, then he wants to flow through us into others.
Amen.
So here's a couple of verses that I want to put together and make a new verse. It's not really wrong, I don't think. Let's see. Let's look at slide number 10. It's 1 John 4:17. Slide number 10. It says, I'm just going to read the first part of it. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness at the day of judgment. And the second part would say, the next part would say, as he is.
Yeah.
Should be slide 10. As he is, so are we.
Yeah.
Is there a second part to that? It might be missing. But write that down. As he is, so are we. Think about that. That's a scripture in the Bible that says that as he is, so are we. And then if you go to slide number 13, 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says, I'll just read the whole thing and then I'll highlight the part that I want to highlight. So all of us who have had the veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. This is the NLT. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, which is in us, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. So let's smash those two verses together and let's say it this way. As he is, so are we to reflect the glory of the Lord. I don't think that's sacrilegious to do that. It's not blasphemy. It's not, but think about it. As he made us, so are we in this world to bring his glory to others. God wants us to see ourselves as carriers of his presence. Proverbs 20:23 says, "The spirit of a man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inner depths of his heart." What did we say last week? We said, that's like it. When the Spirit of God is in us, the Holy Spirit, it lights up things in us that God wants to highlight in our life.
Yes.
We also said, since we've been made like in the likeness of God, right? The Bible says we're made in the image of God.
Yeah.
And gave us a spirit to house the Holy Spirit in us, then we can operate and function like Jesus did. So, where do we get the knowledge of how to behave? Sometimes we look at our parents. Some people even go even further back and look at Adam and Eve. you know, how we should handle a situation. Let's see how they handled it. Let's see how my parents handled it. Let's see how my grandparents handled it. But really, the source of how we should behave is Jesus.
That's it. Yeah.
How he behaved. So how he acted in situations is how we are to act in situations.
Yeah.
When his best friend or one of his best friends, Lazarus, died, he didn't freak out. He didn't like say, get me a camel that's really fast. Yeah. I got to get there quick before the body starts to contaminate or decompose, I mean. And I got to get there. And he didn't fret.
No.
In fact, he actually like chilled.
Yeah.
Come on. That's good.
So that's the word for me today. I don't know about you, but whenever we're facing problems, we need to chill.
Chill.
Amen. And wait on the Lord.
That's good.
And get his mind on the situation. Who knows? That's what Jesus was doing. He might have been saying, should I let him go? Is it better that he's in heaven? Should I let him go? God, what do you want me to do? He might have been chilling to know what to do.
That's good. Yes. Amen.
So rather than react, we should respond the way he would want us to respond. But I'm going to say it again. We can operate and function just like Jesus.
Yes.
We're not Jesus, but he's in us, and we're reflecting his glory. We're reflecting because we're made in his image.
Yes.
Next week, I encourage you to bring your neighbor, bring someone. He's a friend of mine, Kevin Reardon. He understands what it's like to be a vessel for the water, the Spirit of God to pour through.
That's right. Yes,
he does. And you'll see, it's amazing. He's just a person.
Uh-huh.
He's just a person who is willing to yield himself, even look like a fool. Even look silly so that God can have his way.
Yeah.
God, help us to not care about getting it wrong. Help us just to want to be obedient.
Yeah.
Amen? Amen. That's our prayer.
Amen.
So we talked about how God's presence increases as we spend more time with Jesus. Remember that?
Uh-huh.
We'd also talked last week about out of this drinking, there's a well, spring of life. In Proverbs 4:23, it says, the second part, pay attention to the welfare of your innermost being, from there flows the wellspring of life. So if you're in a state of turmoil, it's going to be really hard for you to walk in peace.
That's it.
Right? Because if your inner being, it's kind of a obvious thing, but if your inner being is in turmoil, it's going to be very hard to put on the peace of God. So it's very important that we are very careful what we let into our hearts.
That's it, yeah.
Out of this drinking, out of this wellspring of life, we can be a wellspring of life to others.
Amen.
Then we got into this last week. Jesus wants us to do the same works that he did when he walked this earth. The same exact thing. So how did he handle this situation? He wants us to handle it the same way.
That's right.
When we're hungry, our first thought shouldn't be, I got to steal something, or I have to work extra hard to get this or to get that. No, what did he do? He said, what do we have?
Yes.
Bring me what you have.
Amen.
And bless it. So these are principles that we should live by. So let's look at John 14. We already know this verse, but I want to look at it again. It's the slide number 6. It says, I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done. And then he says this. It's a very intriguing statement. And even greater works, because I'm going to be with the Father. So why is it going to be greater? Because he's going to, and then the Holy Spirit can come in each one of us, which makes it a greater impact, a greater work. You can ask for anything in my name and I will do it. I love that part. I will do it.
Yeah.
Just like if you asked your earthly father, if he was a good earthly father, or your best friend, hey, can you do this for me? Yes, I'd be happy to help out.
Good.
I will do it. That's the character of our Heavenly Father. We can run into His mansion, open up the fridge, and help ourselves to the best looking thing that is in that fridge. And He'll be like, yeah, help yourself. I'll make more. No biggie. No biggie. Now, my house is a little different, but in God's house, help yourself to anything you want. We won't get into that. But anyways, so that the Son can bring glory to the Father, yes, ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. Amen. So we have these very important words in there. We have believing, we have greater, I will do. So all we have to do is what? Believe.
Yeah, that's right.
Believe that He wants to do greater. So unless you believe, you're probably not going to go, hey, can I pray for you?
That's right.
Probably not going to do that. You're probably going to be like, nothing will happen. I'm just Joe Schmo, you know. But if you believe something's going to happen, not because you're special, but because you believe that God is in you. Uh-huh. If you believe God is in you and that His Spirit is working in you,
yes,
then you can believe that something's going to happen. Uh-huh. Believing greater things can happen and that He will do it. He'll respond with doing it. So how do we believe for greater things? I really believe it's back to remembering who you are in Christ. Jesus showed us how to operate, how to do life. He is our pattern. Adam was our pattern until he ate of the tree and saw himself less than what he was. Remember, all the miracles Jesus did on the earth was through the power of the Holy Spirit. So what am I saying? How many did He do before the He was baptized? And what did He do? The wedding? I think He might have did the wedding. Yeah. Was that before the baptism or after? That was after. So yeah. So He did none. He did no miracles before He was baptized. And the Holy Spirit came on Him. And we heard it in the sky. Everybody heard it. This is my Son. In whom I'm well pleased. So just like Jesus, even though He was 100% God, 100% man, He was anointed by the Holy Spirit, came down like a dove, and rested in Him. So when He did miracles, yes, it was His belief, but it was the Holy Spirit doing it. Same with us. It's us believing, but it's the Holy Spirit doing it through us.
That's right.
When we walk closely with the Lord and He trains us to love and care and share God with others, we can operate in the same way He operated on this earth. So when we're talking about the same works, let's talk about this. Jesus wants us to come to a place of walking with God where we are fully mature. There's a verse I want to look at in Ephesians 4 where we are behaving just like Jesus. Obviously, Jesus wasn't sinning. We know that, right? He was sinless. But He's 100% man. But wasn't sinning. So if He did it, and He did it through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can do it too.
We can too.
Through the power of the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
So I'm not going to condemn anyone or say, hey, your new challenge is to not sin anymore. Although it's a good challenge, I'm not going to say that's, you know, a burden to you, but it's a joy.
Yeah.
Out of spending time with the Lord, out of that river, we can make the right decisions.
Amen.
We can recognize temptation and run.
Yep.
We can go a whole day without sinning. I believe it.
Yes, that's right.
I believe we could take that thought and say that's not of God, and I think we can throw it out.
Amen.
Before it turns into a sin. And I'm going to prove it to you in Ephesians 4. It says, now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do His work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such a unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord. Here's the neat part. Measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. See it? See it right there? Measuring up to the full and complete standard. What is the standard of Christ? I believe it's not sinning.
Yeah, that's right.
I believe it's obeying God. Amen. Following the voice of the Father. Yeah. And the voice of a stranger we don't follow. And we've learned to recognize when you're fully mature and you're equipped to do every good work, I believe you recognize this is not God's voice. Amen. This is the devil's voice. I'm running from that voice. But this over here is God's voice. I'm running to that voice. Amen. And I'm going to stay on that course. So then we are no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown around by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. So here's a neat thing. When you're doing what you're created to do, it's you're going to fit perfectly in the body. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Is your elbow stuck? Are you the elbow or is it stuck? Is the body of Christ? You need to get that limbered up, start working your elbow again? Because that's whenever it's going to fit perfectly. You're going to fit perfectly when you start functioning the way God has made you to function. Some people get a lot of joy out of just being a greeter and saying hello and good morning and encouraging someone.
That's right. Come on.
So the level that we need that God wants to operate is a mature and full and complete standard of Christ. He modeled that for us. He modeled that for us. For 3.5 years, he lived this life where when temptation came, it did come. He went to the scriptures. He went to the Lord. He went because he had the truth. He had the truth shed abroad in his heart. He was a rabbi. He studied the word his whole life. And he also knew the voice of his Father. So God, help us to be mature and full and complete in you, where we're not swaying back and forth. Oh, should I be this way about this? Should I be this way? Should I be this way? Should I be this way? Nope. If the word says it, we should not deviate. We should stick to it.
Amen.
And then we talked about, in fact, Luke 6:40 says, a disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. And I'm picturing the teacher as Jesus.
Yes.
Is our teacher. We're not above him, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like him. No, not to the full measure, but we have a measure of it, but he operated in the full measure. I mean, he was operating in all five gifts, all five ministry gifts, the prophet, the teacher, the evangelist, the prophet, the apostle, all at once. And us, I believe, we just kind of go in and out of one of them at a time. So Peter is our example of a disciple who was trained to operate just like Jesus operated. You know, he did have a pretty rough beginning there, right?
Yeah.
Cutting people's ears off and denying Jesus.
Yeah.
Whenever Jesus needed him most, he's like, I don't even know that. I don't know. But then when he got filled with the Holy Spirit in the upper room, he came down a different person.
Yeah.
And the Holy Spirit gave him boldness.
Yeah.
And we see in Acts 5, a couple chapters after the first message he preached and 3,000 got saved, we see this really cool anointing that he carried.
Yeah.
And in Acts 5:15, it says, as a result of the apostles' work, sick people were brought out into the streets on beds and mats so that Peter's shadow might fall across some of them as he went by. Crowds came from the villages around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those possessed by evil spirits, and they were all healed. That's a tremendous passage that I think as Christians, we should say, I want that, Lord, not for my glory, but I want to carry something that affects change in people's lives for the better. That someone that's gripped with darkness and bondage gets around you and says, whatever you have, I need it. I need it right now. And you lead them in the sinner's prayer. Amen. And you lead them to Christ. And the life of God goes into them and brings freedom to them.
Right.
It should not be laborious. It should not be hard. When you're flowing in it, it should just, you know, by faith, you just begin to say, yeah, I'd love to pray for you. I'd love to give you hope. So Peter is operating on a level that Jesus trained him to operate. He saw Jesus. He walked with Jesus. He saw how he did things. Nothing shaked him. He always responded the way God would have him respond. He always had faith to believe. So can we operate in the same level of anointing as Peter? The answer is, yeah. If the Holy Spirit is in you, then yes, you can.
Amen.
1 John 4:17. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, we already read it, so are we in this world.
That's right.
It was in my notes again, so I'm going to read it again. Love has been perfected. When love's perfected in you, you're going to have boldness. When you're walking in the God kind of love, it's shed abroad in your heart, and you're now living in it, then you're going to have boldness, courage. Fear is going to flee, because God has not given you a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. Romans 8:11 talks about the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. So that's resurrection power.
Yes, it is.
And that's Holy Spirit dwelling power. I'll just read it. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. I like that story that someone said, where this guy was sick. And he's like, no, I'm not going to take this COVID anymore. And he said, I'm the healed of the Lord. And the next day he went to work. And you say, well, I've tried that before and nothing happened. Well, I'm not saying that you didn't have faith either. But sometimes you just have to keep acting.
Yes,
right. And it might take more than just a day. But our job is to keep releasing our faith and keep believing. The rest is up to God.
Amen.
The rest is up to God. We can rest assured that we did our part and the rest is up to him. So it's the same Holy Spirit living in us that was in Jesus that resurrected him from the grave. And now we have access to that resurrection power.
Yeah.
So in closing, in the next 6 minutes, I want to give you three keys to flowing in a greater anointing. The first one is, we can operate like Peter by saying no to sin.
Amen.
By saying no to sin. We can operate like Peter, who was very anointed, by saying no to sin. 1 John 5:18, we know that everyone who has been born of God does not keep on sinning. But he who was born of God, Jesus, Son of God, protects him, and the evil one does not touch him.
That's good. Yeah.
So when you don't keep on sinning, then you enter into this new arena, I'll call it, where the devil can't touch you. 1 John 5:18, same verse, but a different translation in the Amplified. We know with confidence that anyone born of God does not habitually sin. You can't. Honestly, if you're truly accepted the Lord and you experienced his life-giving spirit in you, then you can't sin and enjoy it. But he, Jesus, who was born of God, carefully keeps and protects him. Let me just clarify something. Your flesh might still enjoy it,
amen,
but something's going to eat you alive in the inside.
That's right.
And that's the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And it's like, it used to be fun, but it ain't fun no more. But he, Jesus, who was born of God, carefully keeps and protects him, and the evil one does not touch him.
Yes.
The evil one does not touch him.
Yeah.
So there is little to no interference from the enemy, Satan, when we walk close with Jesus and the power of God is working in us. It gives us a new want-to.
Yes.
We can actually go days without sinning. I believe it's possible.
Amen. I
second thing you can do to increase the anointing in your life. We already talked about it, but I want to re-say it. Spend time with Jesus. Spend time with Jesus. And we already looked at this verse, but I want to look at it again because it's important. 2 Corinthians 3:18. So all of us who have had the veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. You know, I'd stop right there. When you think about Moses, he was face to face with God on top of that mountain getting the Ten Commandments. Remember that story? If you don't, check it out. But it's pretty neat how he had to put a mask of some sort over his face when he came back down because his face was actually illuminated, shining to the point where it must have been too bright. So what happened? That light got on Moses and was reflecting off of his face. So let's, in light of that story, let's finish this. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him. Who's him? Jesus. As we are changed into his glorious image. So I want to see us come into the church and all of our faces are brighter.
Amen.
Amen. When we gaze upon his loveliness, that same image is projected back onto us. He'll make you look good. You think revitalization cream is good? Just spending time with Jesus will give you great skin tone. As we look at him, we are being changed to look like him. So if I was to look in a mirror, or I'm looking at Jesus, but really I'm seeing myself. That's who I'm supposed to be, right?
Yes.
I'm supposed to be like Jesus. I was made in his image. I might not have the long hair or the debonair personality or whatever he had. I don't know. But I'm made in his image.
Yes.
Could you see yourself made in his image?
Yes.
Look at Jesus as a mirror. And the third thing is joy. I believe walking in joy is a great way to increase the anointing in your life.
Yes.
You know, faith and joy go together. So you really can't say I'm walking by faith but be sad. You can't really do that. Oh, my life's horrible, but God, I believe that you're working. Yeah. You know, it can be tough. It can be a rough situation. But what you do is you focus on the prize.
Come on.
Yes.
What you've been delivered from.
Glory to God.
What you're going to.
Amen.
And what you're walking in. Even in the midst of a problem, you can still walk in victory.
Yes.
That's why people say, I got the victory. Well, actually, you're in a battle right now. Yes, but I got the victory because
yes.
Whether I win or lose this physical battle, I am eternally the Lord's.
Come on.
And I'm going to eternally spend it with the Lord. So I can't lose. I have the victory. So here's the verse in closing that the Lord's been, this verse has been living on me in me for the last couple months. And it's Isaiah 12:3. I think it was a month ago, me and Dave, we were in the prayer room and he finished the verse for me. But this is with joy. Everyone say with joy.
With joy.
You will drink deeply from the fountain of salvation. The New King James says, therefore with joy will you draw water from the wells of salvation.
Yes.
So joy is the bucket.
Uh-huh.
So you got this well, you got the Spirit of God, but it's in you. The Spirit of God is in you. It's a well. It's a source of God's presence.
That's right.
But how do you get it to live through you? How do you get it to bubble up and express through your life? I believe it's joy.
Yes.
I believe it's getting that bucket of joy and saying, ha ha, God, I'm just going to laugh at the devil right now. Right. This hurts, that hurts, this and that's going on. But I'm just going to laugh because I know that I'm on the winning team. I'm on the winning side.
Yes.
I can't lose.
I like that.
And the Holy Spirit is in me.
Amen.
The greater one is on the inside of me.
Yes.
I mean, think about it. Even Jesus on the cross, experiencing all this pain, was still preaching.
Yeah.
And was still saying, Father, forgive them. And still walking in love. This was the life of God flowing through him. This was him drawing from a bucket with a bucket of joy.
Amen.
He knew that he was redeeming us and we were on his mind.
Amen.
So he had the big picture. Yeah, he was in a lot of pain. Sometimes we experience pain, not on purpose, but sometimes life gives us that situation. But we can overcome, just like Jesus overcame. Therefore, with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. The anointing will follow joy. Ha ha. Go ahead, try it. Ha ha. It follows joy. So, Lord, fill us with more of your joy. John 16:24 says, until now you have asked nothing in my name, ask, and you will receive that your joy may be full.
Yes, glory.
Well, you say, I don't have any joy. Ask for it.
Amen.
Ask for joy.
Amen.
Well, I'm a pessimist.
Yeah.
Well, ask them to make you an optimist.
Yes.
It says it right there. Ask, and you will receive that your joy may be full. Do not, if someone tells you you're a stereotype you really don't like, then say, I am not that. I am Jesus.
Amen.
I have Jesus' personality.
Yeah.
I'm not Jesus, but you know what I'm saying. I have the character of God in me.
Right.
I have the life of God working in me.
Amen.
I'm not this. I'm not that. I'm not a beaver. I'm not a tiger, whatever they say.
Yeah.
I'm a Holy Ghost temple.
That's it.
Temple for the Holy Spirit. Last verse, I know it's after 8. Acts 13:52, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit.
Oh my, yes.
See the connection?
Yes.
The Holy Spirit and joy work together.
Yes.
Have you ever been in a service where people are laughing? It's not because they're making fun of the pastor. It's very possible they're just experiencing the Holy Spirit.
That's right. Yeah.
Because they go together.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. So let's stand this evening if you can. So spend time with the Lord, ask him for joy, and say no to sin. God, put a hunger in us. Put a hunger in us to be vessels that you can flow through. Rivers of living water flowing out of us into this world, Lord. The same Spirit that is in Jesus, Lord, let it be in us, flowing. Let it flow out of us, Lord. So if you would just raise your hands, Lord, we receive strength, not just for tonight, not just for tomorrow. We receive spiritual strength for the days, the months, the years ahead, Lord, to finish our course with joy, to not become weary in well-doing, but to sit at your feet and become renewed and revitalized as we look into your face and it changes us. It changes us to look like you, to act like you, to think like you. So, Lord, we don't run from you. We run to you.
That's right.
Lord, we want to be like Mary who chose the better part. Lord, help us not to think that doing stuff is the way to your heart or doing stuff is the way to feel productive per se. But, Lord, spending time with you, getting your mind on the situation is it has to be our heart cry.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
So, Lord, thank you.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
For your Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Father.
Your indwelling presence. Your manifest presence.
Yes.
Working in our families. Working in our homes. Working in our situations.
Yes.
And we do. We just laugh. We refuse to be in despair. We refuse to be fretful. And we just laugh, because you're on the throne.
Yes, you are.
And that you, if you can care for the lilies of the sparrows, the birds, and the flowers, Lord, you can definitely care for us. So we just laugh because we know you're going to take care of us. We just know it. We just know it because you are a good Father. So we thank you for taking care of us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more information, please visit wordalivechurch.info.